Welkom opnieuw bij de Puur Koffie podcast. Vandaag een iets andere episode dan de voorgaande episodes, want ik neem jullie niet echt mee op reis, maar iemand komt op reis bij ons. En vandaag hebben we het bezoek van Katia Lopez. Zij is een van de mensen van de organisatie van Cup of Excellence. En zij bezoekt ons bij OUR gedurende 2 dagen. En we vonden natuurlijk een ideale gelegenheid om met haar een podcast op te nemen. De rest laat ik haar zelf uitleggen.
Good morning, Katia. It's really great to have you here in the Belgian countryside. Someone from the Cup of Excellence team. So it's an honor to have you here. And maybe we can start by introducing yourself and what is your role at the Cup of Excellence organization.
Thank you. Thank you guys for inviting me and for giving us the opportunity to talk about our favorite topic, coffee. my name is Katia Lopez. I born in Honduras, producer coffee country. And I have been working in coffee since 2013, like a little bit time ago. And I start in coffee in a specialty side. And well, I have been working with different countries and also in different stuff, logistic, cooking programs, producers. And now I am working for a Cup of Excellence. I initially start in the logistics side, but now I am working with our private collection auctions and also with the Cup of Excellence auction. So I am the auction manager to all the programs that have Cup of Excellence and ACE.
Okay, good. And so I'm sure that most of the people who listen to this podcast, they will know the Cup of Excellence as a name, but maybe not exactly what the organization is doing or aiming for. So can you explain a little bit more about what is Cup of Excellence exactly and what is the objective of this organization?
Yeah, of course. well, in an easy way, this could be like... Cup of Excellence is a program that tries to reward the work that the producer do in the countries. And for do that, we do national competitions that are open for all the producers in the countries that we run the program. And after do 3 different stages of selecting the coffee, we have a maximum of 30 producers, winners, that they can go to the auction. If we can describe like a Champion Leagues or like a Miss Universe of coffees, there is a really hard competition for the producers. And they feel like this is an honor to them, like be a winners. But we also do other stuff. This is a really organization that try to connect producers and buyers. We try to spread the culture of a specialty coffee. We talk about specialty coffee. We educate producers, buyers, roasters. So it is not just a competition. It's more like culture.
Yeah.
We are an organization that try to spread that. And, you know, we have more than 20 years in the industry. So we are improving and we are growing during all this year. But we feel like we have to do more.
Yeah.
We have a space for do more every time in this industry.
So if you say you want to do more, that means that you will open up new countries where you have auctions in the future?
Yeah. Actually, you know, we have 12 countries. We do Cup of Excellence in Mexico, Honduras, Nicaragua, Guatemala, El Salvador, Costa Rica. Then we have Colombia, Brazil, Peru. Recently, we have Ecuador and Indonesia, and we do in Africa, Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all these countries, but also we run other private collection in other countries, like Taiwan. We do one auction there. We also have one in Tanzania. We have Best of Yemen, that is obviously from coffee from Yemen. And we are trying to find really good coffees around all the world.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, we are open to find the best coffees in every country that produces coffee.
Yeah. And do you have a typical profile of a farmer who is participating? I mean, is it, I can see a lot of farmers are like habitués, huh? They come every year or every auction. But do you have a lot of new farmers who try to participate? And what is like the typical profile of a farmer who can participate also? Because I guess maybe it's not easy for every single farmer to find a way and to entry.
Yeah. It's I think that is we do this open for Cup of Excellence. It's an open call. You know, we don't have any restriction. If you are from different regions, we don't have restrictions about varieties. We don't have, even if you are a really, really small producer and you want to participate in a competition and you don't have like enough coffee and you have a neighbor or you have a friend that also produce coffee, you can together have a lot and together participate like in the competitions.
Mm-hmm.
So, It's interesting because if you start to see the statistic of who are the winners,
mm-hmm.
you see some names years.
Rock so, stars.
Yeah. We have, you know, we have some producers that they are just doing really, really well during years. They be like experts.
Yeah.
So it's for a new producer, it's a little bit, you know, like hard mm-hmm. for them, like try to compete with these experts producers that they have the names, they have all the stuff. But one of the things that I think that is totally good of Cup of Excellence is that we keep the coffees plain. So every time that we do a cupping, we don't know the region. We don't mm-hmm. know the name of the producer. We don't know the process. We don't know nothing about the coffee. Mm-hmm. We just have the coffee. And all the coppers, they are trying to score the coffee in an individual way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like we don't have like, for be part of the competition, we don't have like a profile.
Yeah.
But you can see in the statistic, like we have some consistent producers participating. But actually we try to encourage the producers because sometimes the small producer feel scared about these bigger producers that are doing so well, like they have like these amazing machines, they have the, you know, these amazing varieties, and they feel like I cannot compete.
Yeah.
But honestly, you can just jump and see what happened. And we try to give feedback to the producer every time. If they don't pass, the producer have the opportunity to go to our country partner and ask for the scores. So you will see if what are the scores, what the different scopers describe in the coffee, and you can try to improve.
Yeah.
So we, maybe you don't want in the beginning, but if you have start to analyze, okay, what can I do for improve next time?
Yeah.
Definitely the producers can want. And we have, you know, it's interesting. We just finished Nicaragua action last week. And the number one was a producer that won for the first time. And this was the first competition. We have producers that they just jump for the first time and they win.
Yeah.
And this is an example that we actually we don't have a profile. Yeah. I think the only request is that you need to have really, really good coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the only request. But if you have good coffee, just jump and see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, the producer never know. And maybe they have all that we are trying to find. And they can have a really, really good price at the end and maybe know a really good roaster and start to have good business with them.
And it's interesting. So the Nicaraguan guy who won for the first time, he was competing for the first time. So what is in it for him? Can you explain? Okay, he's the winner, so there is coming something as a winner. Can you explain what is the difference it can make for him for the future as a farmer?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this competition give to the producer the opportunity to expose themselves. You know, we have the opportunity, we send samples to hundreds of buyers. So these producers that win, they have this opportunity that roasters around all the world taste the coffee. So if someone is interested in this producer, they can be during the auction. But if you really like this coffee and you want to contact this producer, we can just contact us and, you know, ask for the contact and start to talk directly with them.
Yeah.
So this exposure that this producer will have could be change the future of them. You know, it's just, we have so many histories that the producer that get a good buyers, get a good relationship, they start to grow up. Now they have buyers that they know like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and they still having this relationship with the buyers.
Yeah.
So for the producers can be the different extremely.
Yeah.
I don't feel like this is a competition for make money to them because it's an expensive coffee, of course. You have to pay a lot for a coffee, but it's a small lot actually.
What is the size of the lots? Or there is a minimum size, I guess.
We try to put a minimum size and a maximum size.
Yeah.
The minimum is 5 bags of 60 kilos.
Yeah.
And a maximum is 16 bags.
Yeah.
But maybe if you are a really, really small roaster, you feel, oh my God, this is big.
Yeah.
But if you are like maybe a medium or a big roaster, it's not too much.
Mm-hmm.
And for the producer, it's also not too much. And when you do the mathematics, you will discover that it's a lot of money, but it's not like the money that will be covered all the harvest. So will be help them to, you know, that solve all the problems in the farm. No, it's just a small quantity of money, but the opportunity to do business in a long term, that is for me, is the way that we are changing the game.
So we can say that it's actually more like a gateway that you create to the market to find potential buyers that are able and ready to pay for that great coffee.
Yeah. Actually, at the end, our goal is not the auction. Our goal is create this relationship between buyers and producers. We are trying to connect people and obviously a warm this quality. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. Sometimes we have producers that one time they find a good client, they don't participate again because they establish this relationship, and we don't see anymore. And we have other producers that they are years and years and years participating because they want to. I feel like they want to demonstrate.
Yeah,
that they are really, really good, consistent all the time. I think that most of our producers, if they can do a lot if they are prepared when they win. Because that is also a problem that we constantly see. We have some producers that they win. And maybe for us, it's just insane why they don't have an email, why they don't have Instagram, why they don't have WhatsApp. It's like, why? It's just insane. Is this? But when you go literally to the producer country and you go to the farms and you know that this is a really, really small producer.
Yeah.
So maybe he don't have a computer. He don't have internet.
Yeah.
So it's... I feel like for us, this is a hard part because we want to connect, but maybe the producer is not ready yet.
Yeah.
So we are trying to encourage to, when we see this type of producers, we try to encourage to them, like pass to the next generation because maybe they are not like too into in the technology, but their sons or their nephew or maybe their little brothers, they are a little bit more, so they can be part of the business and we can start to open this door and try to connect more.
Yeah. Okay. And maybe that leads me to the next question I had is, as far as I can see, it's mostly Latin America, let's say, with the exception of Indonesia and Ethiopia. How comes that it's mostly Central and Latin America and that Cup of Excellence only has Ethiopia in Africa as an auction?
Yeah. I mean, we can see a lot of potential in other countries, especially in Africa. Mm-hmm. We see, like, if you go there, you can find really, really good coffees. And they're totally different than the coffee that you can find in Central America. They taste different.
Yeah.
And we are trying to develop more programs there. We are working in that. We have some projects there. We are working in platforms and we are trying to connect buyers and producers. But obviously take a little bit more time. Some countries that are more difficult than others, you know, like Brazil. Brazil is like a coffee producer country.
Yeah.
They are huge. They know what they are doing. When we start to work quality programs, they just understand so quickly.
Yeah.
And they just want to jump and they want to start. They want to improve. But then we have other countries like in Africa. The culture of coffee is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
They produce coffee and change the mind of the producer, like in a specialty, like we can do maybe a little bit different. It's a little bit more hard.
Yeah.
Because we need to work in this mind change first, this cultural stuff. But definitely we are We are working in some projects there. We also trying to expand to other countries in Asia that we are see that they have like quality. But it's a process.
Yeah.
Because for us, it's not just a country that produces coffee. We need to find quality.
Yeah.
After that, we need to find a partners there that can be able to run the programs to, you know, like help us with economic and support with people.
So it's maybe also a question of budget that is not available, or like the infrastructure, the logistics that might be harder.
Yeah, it's a mix of a lot of stuff. I mean, when we have all the parts, all the puzzle complete, we say, okay, we can run a program here.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we have the coffee.
Yeah.
We have really, really good coffees there. But we don't have partners. We don't have the logistics. It's really, really complicated. It's a little bit hard to find actually people that can roast, grind, serve, you know, like prepare all the logistics around the program.
Yeah.
So it takes time.
Yeah.
Open a country takes time, but definitely we want to expand to other countries, and we are working in that. So maybe in the future we can announce like more countries in Africa and in Asia.
Good. Yeah. This morning in the car, you also explained me that you are one of the next auctions is in Thailand, or you are preparing it to start in Thailand. And you told me that you had to go there to train the farmers, which was a surprise for me because I didn't know that this was also part of your job at Cup of Excellence. So can you explain a little bit what exactly, how does it work? Like you think, okay, Thailand might be the good next country. How does it work, the process to start an auction for the first time?
Well, right now we are working in a pilot in Thailand. We are really, really excited. But we need to figure out that everything will be ready for a Cup of Excellence. So normally when we are up in a country, the country normally contact us. And we ask, this like an organization that want to work with all the producers. Mm-hmm. Because if they want to do like some more private, we have another program for that part of the stuff. But when they want to have a Cup of Excellence, have to be open for all the producers. So this partner need to understand that and need to be able to, you know, have this good reputation in the country.
Yeah.
So all the producers can come to this partner.
So that is mostly like the national agency of coffee in most of the countries?
Yeah, in most of the country we work with associations.
Yeah.
You know, like we work with also coffee organization in the country or the coffee institute. So they are our partners and they run the program.
Yeah.
But we train our partners, we try to train our producers, and we have to train our coppers and our exporters. So that is the fourth part that we need to check that everything will be fine. And for the producers, we have a program that we call Farmer Reach Out. Basically, we start to talk to the producer, what is Cup of Excellence and what are we looking for? Because we need to then understand, like, okay, this is a micro. We are not, you don't need to produce a container.
Yeah.
It is really, really a micro lot. For example, we don't allow to our producer to add any chemical stuff or any, so we need to talk about them to this. We also say like, okay, if you can mix varieties, you can do blends, but you cannot do blends as process, for example. Mm-hmm. So you cannot mix like a wash and a natural together. Mm-hmm. That is not allowed. And maybe this stuff sounds like really, really simple, but when we open a country, the producers, they don't know nothing about Cup of Excellence. Yeah. Yeah. So we need to start to do the basic stuff. Yeah. We also talk to them about humidity, water activity, all this stuff that we control in the program. And they also need to understand how this works. Like we have auditors. We do this, we could plan. This is the format. So all the producers can be prepared for be part of the competition. Mm-hmm. So we want to all the producers have the same opportunities. So we teach first to them. And we do the same to our partners. We try to teach, okay, these are the rules. This is the way that we will do. And this is the way that you need to do
yeah.
in the country for warranty that everything will be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And we also do the same with the coppers. We have, because sometimes we have a lot of coppers, but we need to create a panel that is totally calibrated mm-hmm. between them. Otherwise, it will be a little bit complicated, the yeah. results. And we do a calibration for coppers, and we apply a test. We do 2 days. During 2 days, we teach them how is the form, so they can be familiar. Because if they only use the SCA form, when they start to see the Cup of Excellence form, will be like, maybe, okay, what is this?
Yeah.
Could be a little bit shocking in the beginning. So we try to teach them. After that, we apply an exam, and only the cooper that passed the exam can be allowed to be a jury
yeah.
during the process. And also we training our exporter, because be an exporter for Cup of Excellence is totally different to be a normal exporter. We have like a lot of small lots. We have buyers groups. So sometimes we have one lot, three different buyers.
Yeah,
you need to send the coffee
to
different.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit more complicated. You know, sometimes we have countries that they request more documents than others, other countries that are a little bit more complicated. So we need to analyze, we need to do other stuff. When we have mm-hmm. organic, how we will handle the organic coffees.
Mm-hmm.
So all those stuff, we also need to teach to our exporter.
Yeah.
So after we train all the people, we run a pilot. If the pilot goes well, we analyze, okay, if they are ready for a Cup of Excellence or we have to do another pilot.
Yeah.
And when we consider that the country is totally ready, we definitely launch a Cup of Excellence
yeah.
program.
Yeah.
But all the countries, we opened 2 years ago, 2021, I think. We opened Indonesia and Ecuador, but before open these countries, we run pilots in all of these countries. And now we are working in Thailand. We really hope that everything go well there. And in the future, we can have like an official Cup of Excellence there.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if you have the answer, but can I ask you, what is to run a competition in a country from A to Z, what is the budget that you need to be able... Do you have an idea about that?
Yeah. It's, well...
Or maybe it's a question I cannot ask, or...
No, I mean, I think that it's a really, really good question, because the people think that it's easy and it's cheap. And, you know, well, it's depend on the country,
mm-hmm.
because each economy is different.
Yeah.
But it's around, I can just remember in Italian.
In Spanish?
Yeah, it's 150,000 to $350,000.
Between $150,000 and $300,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. More or less.
Yeah.
It's quite expensive.
It's quite a budget.
Yeah. 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 It is dependent of the country.
Yeah. Of course.
But it's,
but you are a non-profit organization.
Yeah. How we can get the money?
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason that we have partners in each country, and we try to have the association involved. So the associations are in charge to find this budget for the countries.
Yeah.
So in Guatemala, for example, Ana Café is in charge to find these budgets. But we also help a lot because we work with organization like USAID. For example, USAID is our partner for Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. They are funding all the programs in Ethiopia. And we are trying to find more people that want to help to the countries.
Yeah.
Actually, we have right now, if someone want to just give money to the countries for improve, you can just make a donation, and we pass this money to the countries.
Yeah.
Or we use this money for go to a country and train farmers and train people.
Yeah.
We are working right now with some really big companies, big roasters that they want to start to improve and be a little bit more involved in the program. So we have some project with some really, really big roasters that they are just giving us money for do training with the farmers.
Good.
I feel like this is nice. We love to have more budget because we can do more if we have more money.
Of course.
It's nice to see how more people is trying to support the producers, the country, and the program. Because at the end, we are a really, really small team. We are trying to do our best.
Yeah.
And we definitely need money for do that.
Yeah. All right. And yeah, so regarding your buyers, the roasters, it looks like it's maybe Europe is like less important or less represented. It's more, I think, Asia and America.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. We have buyers in all the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have members in all the world. But the people in Japan, Korea, China, they have this boom right now of a specialty coffee, and they are allowed to pay a lot. So it's quite interesting because we have members, and you know, at least I am the auction manager, so I have access to see who is bidding during the auctions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice because I can see in the beginning you start to see people from US, buyers from US, buyers from Europe, but if the time start to pass during the auction, we start to see like the buyer from China, Japan, Korea, they are willing to pay more and more and more and more and more. And upon the buyers from Europe or US that are not willing to pay.
Yeah.
So they just give up during the auction. And I mean, we are really, really happy that this happen because at the end it's more money for the producers.
Most
of the laws that are just going to Asia right now.
it's
interesting. We really want to see more buyers from Europe, but we also understand there is it's like a money thing at the end. Is the lot is just really, really expensive. It's a little bit more hard for them pay it.
Yeah.
One of the things that we are trying to do right now is like we have these buying groups that is a new way that you can buy with other roasters. Mm-hmm. And we start to see that this is a good opportunity for small roasters and also if you don't have like a huge budget. So if someone is interested in buying a buying group, they can just contact us. And mm-hmm. and I am the person that is in charge to connect all the people. So they can just write me an email or a WhatsApp or everything and say like, hey, I am interested in be part of a buying group from yeah. Honduras, for example, or for Costa Rica. That is the action that we will have this week.
Yeah.
And we connect other buyers and you can start to ask about how much you can take it in terms of kilos, in terms of money, where you are. And these buying groups don't want to be in the same country.
Yeah, they don't want to be competitors.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is really, really good. So they start just to talk.
Yeah.
And they are organized and they just jump together in the auction and they just buy a lot. We see this more now, and that is the way that we start to see like more buyers in yeah. US or in Europe can be part of the auction.
Oh, good.
Because otherwise it's yeah. And one country that always have buying groups is Ethiopia, because this is it's a totally different history. The laws that are really, really big mm-hmm. in comparison to other countries. Yep. So if you are in a buying group, it's more easy to you just buy, give a really, really good price to the producer, and you can get just with a part of the lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have buyers that only take 5 boxes. Even we have buyers now that we are just taking 1 box.
Yeah.
They're bidding just for 1 box.
Yeah. So it's very accessible. Actually, for all buyers, yeah. all potential buyers, it's accessible. You can be part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, and this is open also the door to really, really small mm-hmm. roasters.
Yeah.
And for example, if you don't have any idea how to import the coffee, we can help you. We have these deals with FedEx, with DHL, and we have some partners. Actually, we have a program that is we call Train Logistic Partners, and we are trying to have these importers around all the world mm-hmm. that they can import the coffee for you and just put the coffee in your door. So you don't have to worry about
the whole
papers.
Process.
Yeah. Oh, the whole process. Yeah. That could be a little bit, you know, like difficult if you don't know nothing about yeah. exporting. So we are allowed to help him. So because we really want that all the people have access yeah. to the coffee, even if we know that it's expensive. But we want that the people around all the world have the opportunity to taste mm-hmm. the cup of excellence.
Okay, good. Another question I had was, a few weeks or months ago, Tom, my husband, he was judging in the Cup of Excellence in Guatemala. You were together there. And I remember I saw that from the winning lots that went into the international part, so the 40 winning lots,
mm-hmm.
I think more than 20 out of 40 were geishas, which if I look to Guatemala as a country, I mean, it's not the geisha country. There is geisha growing, of course, but it's not that 50% out of the coffee in Guatemala is geisha. How do you see this? Because for me, it looks like maybe this kind of auction is not really representing the real profile of the growing coffee in Guatemala?
Yeah, it's hard right now. We see this geisha boom around all the world. I feel like it's not just Guatemala. You can see in most of the countries, we start to see like a lot of geisha winning the first places. And well, geisha is a good variety. It's really nice coffee. When you taste it, you love it. But yeah, it's a little bit hard for us when we have like the same varieties. So we are trying to encourage to the producers to participate, because that is also, I feel like it's the beginning. If you have more than half of the producers entering a competition have geishas, of course you will have like a lot of geisha winners at the end. So I think that the first step that we are trying to promote right now is like be part of the programs, no matter which variety do you have, no matter which altitude, no matter what, just jump and see what happened. Because we never know. Maybe you have really, really good coffee, but if you are shy and you think that, this is not a geisha, so I cannot be part of the competition, maybe you are losing a good opportunity. But also we are trying to encourage our cuppers, like, please, like, encourage the coffee, like your unique coffee. Don't compare. If you have in the table, like, a really good coffee and you can recognize that it's a geisha, and maybe you have, like, a next cup, you feel like it's not a geisha, like, just take a minute, take a break, breathe, and back in scorers the coffee like a personal coffee.
Not comparing to the previous
not comparing
one.
to the other ones. So we can start to promote this. You know, it's interesting because Guatemala is, I feel like our partner Ana Cafe, they start to see this pattern, and they just develop this another action that they call One of a Kind, that is also one of our private collection action, that is other program that we also have. And this program is just for traditional varieties. So any geisha can compete in this competition. And I think that is nice, because most of the countries, most of the producers, they don't have a geisha. Guatemala is not a geisha country. So give to the producer the opportunity to jump in another competition, to compete. And we start to see that the producer feel like, okay, this is like the first step. If I can make good in this competition, I will jump to Cup of Excellence. So I really hope that next year we will see more varieties. But yeah, you know, we have countries. It's interesting because we see this in Guatemala, but if you see Nicaragua, you will not find any geisha there. We don't have any geisha because the producer, they don't cultivate a lot of geisha. And they, in that country, the culture is like, okay, I need to really do a good process. Like, it's not just the process, it's like all the process, like pick the right beans, like do the right fermentation, like dry the coffee in the right way, and I will just jump. And it's interesting. You will see like a lot of varieties there, like traditional varieties.
But that's good, because we don't want to end up with a coffee world only having geisha.
Exactly.
Would be boring, no?
And I mean, at the end of the day, it's like every time that I think in a geisha, I think that, okay, a Sunday morning when I want to impress my friends, when I want to impress my grandma, my grandparents, you know, like my mom, is the coffee that I will bring for a holiday or something like special. And it's fine. But it's not a coffee that I wake up in the morning and I want to drink a geisha. No, maybe I want to just wake up in the morning and drink a bourbon or drink a rancatuai or you know, like drink like a really good watch coffee that make me happy.
So thank you, Katia. Very interesting. I think I covered the questions I had in mind for you, but maybe you still have a message to share with the coffee world?
Yeah. I mean, Cup of Excellence is a really, really nice word. but it's more than just coffee. It's like a community from producers, buyers, country. And we are a really big family that is open to have more members.
Yeah.
So if you know, if you want to learn more about Cup of Excellence, just jump and ask. If you want to buy a lot, just jump and ask.
Yeah.
If you want to participate as producer, just jump and ask.
Yeah.
We are really, really open, and we are trying to have like more people into this specialty world. This is a really, really good program that we are trying to connect people.
Yeah.
It's not just coffee. It's not just sell. It's not just money.
Yeah, yeah.
For us, it's more like culture. It's more like a family. And we really want to have like more members, more people.
Yeah. So, and build a future around coffee, because that's what we all need. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I my personal history when I jumped to coffee, I don't like it. Honestly, I just back to my home after my first day in coffee, and I was crying because I don't understand nothing. Was another language for me. But I start to feel like, okay, I can learn more.
Yeah.
And I was learning, and after a couple of months, I don't know how, but I was so in love, and maybe that's happened in the beginning to the people when they know about the specialties, like, oh my god, this is another,
it's overwhelming.
Word. Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
But just start to
step by step.
Like go to this war and you will feel in love.
Yeah.
Because it's a different way to the industry. And it's a really, really nice way.
Yeah.
We have crazy people here, like we have crazy coffees. We are like really, really specialty people.
Yeah.
Just jump and learn and start to discover this amazing war.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. It was very interesting.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me, for giving me the opportunity to share a little bit more about coffee.
Yeah, what I am personally taking away from your from what you told us is maybe like organizations like Cup of Excellence, also from my point of view, before we were in touch, it looks like a big organization somewhere not easy to reach, and maybe sometimes you have the idea, okay, I'm a small roaster somewhere in Belgium, how can I get in touch with them? So what I take away from it is that you just have to contact someone at Cup of Excellence, and that it's the goal is that it's accessible for all of us, not only for maybe the huge and the big ones, but
No, and actually, it's just if you don't have any email or or WhatsApp or from the team from Cup of Excellence, just jump to Instagram. We really answer our message. But you know, it's interesting. We are totally open. We are in a small family, and we want to have more members. So just please contact us. We want to share this love for the coffee.
Yeah, and it was also a surprise for me that the team is so small, that you're only, I think, 8 people, you said?
Yeah, we are a really, really small team.
Yeah.
But you know, we feel like we have a big family. So mm-hmm. even when we are just a little bit people working full time,
yeah,
we have partners around all the world. We have producers around all the world. We have
the roasters, network. So the network is big.
Yeah. It's big, and it's a family that we feel the support actually from all the sides. So it's sometimes when we feel like, oh my god, this is too much work. We just find someone in any side of the industry, like saying some nice words or something good. So we feel like we need to keep doing our best. Thank you for all the people that always send good vibes.
Yeah. All right. Good. Well, thank you, Katya, for being here. And maybe we'll meet again somewhere around the world with an excellent cup of coffee.